on, like, big people who have crossover in America, so, like, they're, like, popular. So you'd imagine if you were in the crowd, you'd be like, ooh, like, these guys, like, these are, like Johnny Nitro or whatever, like, it's a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
La Parca comes out, and, like, literally, they cut to crowd reaction shots, and it's people, like, falling over themselves to try to get into the crowd and, like, touch this pudgy man. So that is why, for this week, and it's like a Halloween theme because he's like a skeleton, but that is why for this week, La Parca is your wrestler of the week.
Will you be him for Halloween?
And I will be La Parca for Halloween. I got the entire costume. I gotta say, I'm a little nervous because I'm kind of out of shape right now, and it's like a skin
tight.
Wait,
did you actually get the?
Yeah. It's a skin tight, skeleton costume. So I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about walking around in that. So what I did?
You got 2 weeks.
I got 2 weeks, and I also bought a NWO shirt to like put on the top of it. So I'd be like La Parca if he joined the NWO. But yeah, tons of stuff on YouTube if you want to like really dig into it, because a lot of interesting like wacky feuds where like he feuded with himself, much like Kane. I guess that's kind of why I like him too. Like he feuded with the Dark La Parca, like La Parca Negro, and like. It was a red La Parca. There was like
Wolfpack La Parca.
Wolfpack La Parca. Yeah, the gimmick is, it's also like a doink gimmick too, where like other people have been allowed to be La Parca when he was in WCW, but then he came back and there was a big angle where he like resumed the crown of being the skeleton dancing man. So, La Parca. Also, did you enjoy the production?
It was fantastic. A plus. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent. Excellent new segment. We got Wrestler of the Week.
I'm going to work on week that one. Production, you guys.
La Parca.
Bear with me.
All right. It is the top of the hour now, and you are listening to Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Tufts Free Form Radio. And I think we've mentioned once or twice that it was Friday the 13th, so we're going to play you, this was a couple nights ago, I'm going to play you a song that came out on Friday the 13th just the other night. But before that, again, we are giving away tickets this hour to go see Cattle Decapitation and Revocation. They're playing at Once Ballroom, November 3rd, and you can call in anytime, 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264, and the tickets will be yours, giving away a pair to see those bands. We have the return of Brutal and Not Brutal coming up.
Exciting stuff.
We have lots of horror movies to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
And then we have the first ever Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame inductee.
Ta-da!
It's incredible. Stay tuned. But first, as I mentioned, this song is off an EP that dropped on Friday, the 13th, from the band Attraction to Tragedy. And it is called Two Curses. It is the lead song, I believe, off the EP called Stigma, which, again, just came out on Friday the 13th. And we are going to play it for you now here on Brutal Brunch. So, enjoy. Welcome back to Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. That was the song Two Curses, dot, 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 Two Curses, from the band Attraction to Tragedy, off their EP Stigma that just released on Friday, October 13th. And now, because we're in the spooky mood, talking about Friday the 13th, we're going to talk about some horror movies. I can talk about the new movies I saw, and Matt can talk about the movies from 10 years ago that he finally saw.
Did I talk about The Vavitch?
It's been so long. We still haven't even talked about It, because I finally saw it.
Oh, yeah. How'd you like it? Let's talk about It first.
All right. It was fantastic, I thought.
I thought so, too.
As I feel like we have different perspectives, though, coming in, because I have read the book. You have not.
No, I read the book really when I was a kid. When I was, like, a child.
All right. How much of it do you remember, though?
Barely any.
Exactly. It's 1,200 pages long, yeah. So. But... And I feel like it's not one of those things where you compare it to the book and be like, oh, what did they change and blah, blah, blah. What's up? Are you playing something?
I got a bed.
Oh, I didn't know you had a bed. Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Now we can commence.
Yeah.
But yes, they obviously changed things from the book, which they need to, because you can't... I was talking about this with my cousin last night. We saw Suspiria. But you can't take all of King's stuff, like all his... cosmic nonsense with turtles put that on screen because it's not going to work.
So
when people try to do that in other movies and other adaptations, it's just bad.
That's what they did essentially with the miniseries, right? Because that's a big turtle at the end. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was good. I like the whole, like the interaction.
All the actors are amazing. The kids.
The painting, they did a really good job with the painting.
And you know why that the director directed Mama. And so the villain in Mama and the painting flutist, the flautist, were both based on the artwork of the same artist that the director was freaked out by when he was a kid.
It is nerve-wracking looking. Like, I was like, this is horrible looking. Whereas, like, Pennywise was like, he's like a Hot Topic clown, you know?
You're obsessed with this. Image of Pennywise in this movie. I thought it was good.
But it was good. And, like, the kids were good, and it wasn't, like, annoying. Like, because usually if you get kid actors, it's too precocious, and I'm like, shut
especially
up.
Especially, you have to get the character, for dialogue-wise, you have to get Richie right, because he can be pretty overbearing in the book.
Yes.
And I thought they nailed it.
Yeah.
My one complaint was that they completely neutered Mike.
I was going to say, Mike got shut out.
Yeah.
He's like, you got nothing.
Because he was the historian in the book.
Yeah.
And
gave it to the fat kid.
So one of the things that they took out in the movie is all their kind of unique... abilities, because they foreshadow how Eddie was a navigator and became a driver. Ben was an architect.
Yep.
Stuff like that. But they take all those away, so like, all right, well, somebody needs to know history, so they give it to Ben, who does a great job of like his crush on Beverly and getting that across.
I think
it was excellent. But yeah, so Mike has nothing to do.
No.
In this movie,
he has that cool cattle gun.
Yeah.
You know. So. Yeah, it was good. I saw, because I have the Shudder thing, so I watched Cannibal Ferox.
Getting caught up, which is, way back in the 70s.
Which is terrible. No one should watch that movie. It's not even like, shocking. It's just kind of like boring and grim. And then at the end, it's just like, and the whole movie's a setup for like one gore shot.
It's kind of shocking when they chop off the dude's
the top
genitalia.
Of his head.
And
oh,
the
but
woman's-
then on...
Yeah, the top of her head.
They don't necessarily show it, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, it's Cannibal Ferox, right? Where they just chop it off and eat it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I guess you don't see it. Like, you just see, like,
cutaway.
I don't think you're seeing genitalia. Maybe I got a different cut on Shudder. I know you see him tied up.
You like my niece right now. You claim you see this movie. Are you probably hiding?
No, no. You're right. I put the pillow over my face.
It could have been a Holocaust, but you watched them at the same time. You should know.
I know.
You did a double feature.
That's true. I saw that, obviously Spooky Buddies, which you already talked about, great movie. I was watching Monster Squad, it's another great kids movie. And what's the other, I saw some other one that I really kind of enjoyed. Oh, I had to watch Pumpkinhead, because it's like that time of year, Pumpkinhead, one of my favorites. Lance Henriksen's unbelievable in that movie. Legitimately, honestly, like if you think about Pumpkinhead, when's the last time you saw Pumpkinhead?
Forever ago. I haven't actually even seen it all the way through, like the first one. I've seen Pumpkinhead, is it two or three? Blood Wings.
I think
and
that's two.
Punky Brewster's in it.
Yeah, that's two. That's definitely two. But what's interesting about Pumpkinhead is I think they could sell it as like a fantasy. Like, because basically it's like the guy's son is killed, he goes to a witch to enact revenge, and then he's like soul bound to this demon, Pumpkinhead. And then it's like very gory, and I think that's what makes it a horror. But other than that, it's kind of like, I don't know, like I want to see more about the demon world of Pumpkinhead, if that makes any sense. I know that's how we get to like bad scripts and stuff. But I'm like, I'm interested in the lore of this.
There you go. There's a franchise, if you can call it, that has not been reacquired and remade recently.
Not
so you
really,
can
yeah.
you could buy the rights.
I probably
and
could.
Reinvent it. You and Michael Bay and Blumhouse guy over there can all collaborate. And
okay, yeah,
resurrect
we'll do that.
It.
Yeah, we'll do that. Put Blumhouse it up. We're gonna Blumhouse that movie up. People are gonna love it. Pumpkinhead. That's it for horror movies for me, I think. I'm kind of trying to go through the Friday the 13th again, as I usually try to do around this time of year, but that's kind of tough. I might just skip around. I want to see...
What's the best one? Excluding the original. There's only one correct answer.
The original? Three?
Three is fun because it's in 3Ds, and they have these random static shots, like when the kid's juggling.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is there an overhead shot of this guy juggling right now? It's like, oh, because it was filmed in 3D sick. In the 80s.
Five?
No, five is the worst. Jason's not even in it.
Isn't he, though?
Jason Lives, Part 6, is one of the best sequels of all time.
That's fine. I mean, they're all fine on a certain level to me, except, like,
Jason X is awful.
Is not that great.
What an abomination.
Because it's too silly. It's, like, too silly.
Yeah.
But the body count is very high in that movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, he destroys an entire
He blows up a
space
colony,
station,
right?
Whatever, yeah.
I think the director said, yes, Jason threw the thing into the space colony and killed 20,000 people. I don't know. I'm not really, like,
Jason Goes to Hell is fantastic.
Jason Goes to Hell. I was thinking about...
Creighton Duke is one of the greatest characters created.
I was thinking about what else I'd seen on Shudder recently, and it's, like, just, like, escaping my mind.
You gotta get off the Shudder and on to DVD Netflix.
Yeah, I gotta go DVD Netflix.
Be with the times.
Oh, I mean, The Vavitch. I really like The Vavitch. And I think The Vavitch is a good example of horror as opposed to startling.
Sure.
Right? So, you know what I'm talking about? Whereas, like, anyone can be startled. Because, like, I'm startled. Ah, like, whoa.
Yeah. The jump scares. The cheap scares.
Imagery in The Vavitch.
The scene where the baby gets taken away is freaking.
Yeah.
When she just looks up and you see the person going
like,
in the woods. Black Phillip.
But, like, the mood it mm-hmm. creates, it's just stressful.
Yes.
And, like, everything's
that sense
slightly
of dread.
Off.
Yeah.
The guy who played the dad is amazing because, like, just his normal voice is terrifying. yeah, The Vavitch. I thought that movie was awesome. I liked the ending. I was like, mm-hmm. where's this going? I'm like, where's this going? And then it ends. I'm like, oh, that's nerve-wracking. Good movie. And like a movie you can show to like other people and be like, see, it's not just like
yeah, it's one
guts
of those...
everywhere, you know? Like, it's good. So there you have it. I gotta get on it. What should I watch next? Give me a recommendation.
Well, let's see. So I have to get caught up on I'm way behind my pace from last year. Mm. So I'm finally up to 31 movies on the air, though. New movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a double feature with It, with Friend Request.
Yeah.
Which, a little bit disappointing. It was fine, but...
what's the premise?
So, actually, it involves witchcraft.
Hell yeah.
But an outcast girl likes this popular girl at college and sends
sure.
her a friend request.
Of course.
It's her only friend on Facebook. And then the girl goes out for her birthday. She kind of gets creeped out by this girl because she's getting a little bit stalkerish. And so they go for a birthday, and this girl isn't invited, and she sees them all having a party. And then they have an incident, a skirmish in the cafeteria, the dining hall the next day. And then the girl commits suicide, and then the popular girl's friends start dying one by one. And it turns into a mystery.
So is it like Carrie, kind of?
It's more like The Ring.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Also, you know what was shockingly, shockingly good? Was a sci-fi original. So last year, sci-fi had one original movie around Halloween. It was The Night Before Halloween. This year, they're debuting four new movies.
Okay.
Did you have a question? It's
yes.
very complicated.
Question?
Yes.
Are they all by...
No.
What's that studio? Like, the one that makes, like... When, like, a movie comes out, then
they make
a rip-off movie?
No, yeah, that's no? their own, but, you know,
okay.
yeah, that's separate. But they... So, they had... The first movie they debuted was House of the Witch, which was very bad. It's what you would imagine from a sci-fi original.
Mm-hmm.
But then they came out with Truth or Dare, which is shockingly good.
Okay.
And grisly.
Interesting.
And with legit cast in it. The guy... Have you seen Girl in the Photograph? The Girl in the Photographs?
Nope.
Anyway, the serial killer on that, isn't it?
Okay.
So, I would actually recommend that. Pretty good ending as well. So, check that out. 47 Meters Down, the Mandy Moore shark movie. Not very good.
No?
Matthew Modine's in it.
That's
Stavo
good.
From Scream, the series, is in it.
Okay.
But, yeah, not the best movie.
That stinks.
The Hatred was very disappointing. The Wishmaster's in it. But he's in it for very...
The Wishmaster's in it, and it's bad?
And, yes, I don't recommend that. Islamic Exorcist, also not very good. That is an Indian movie.
Wow.
But, well, that movie is, because it's very controversial.
No kidding.
But if you're a conservative Muslim, it's probably going to shock you.
Sure.
Whereas, if you've seen an Exorcist movie before, you're
it's
not going
to care. It's probably going
to go over my head. Yeah. That's the thing. There's, like, they literally talk about there's, like, Shiites and Sunnis, and, like, there's some very derogatory lines being dropped about the different sects.
Would you know it, though, unless you were, like, in the culture, or do you want... Can you, like, you're saying you can't pick up on the...
Well, if you live in the U.S. and you've seen The Exorcist and everything else, you're not gonna, it's just another poorly done Exorcist movie.
Oh, that stinks.
It's also dubbed, so, which can, and that the translations are so bad, it's just, you can't explain it. It's see it, but you
I'll
won't enjoy it.
It.
And then I guess because, like, exorcism and mental health, somebody compared it to under the, now I'm blanking on the... movie that took place in Iran last year.
Oh, like with the girl goes out at night?
No. That was a girl walks home alone at night. It's under the something when the bomb, unexploded bomb, drops into the apartment and there's a girl. But anyway, that's like a horror movie metaphor for like the suppression of women in that society. So somebody compared to this, and I can understand that some element of that, like mental health and women and stuff like that, but it's not come across.
No, it's just not well done.
It is literally lost in translation.
Sure.
What else? Have you seen Here Alone? It was basically a different variation of It Comes at Night, which I assume you have not seen yet.
No.
All right. It Stains the Sands Red was actually highly entertaining.
I will check that
The premise
out.
Is cool, because like zombie movies are overdone.
Yes.
You people have your Walking Dead. It's terrible.
You people? I don't watch that show.
But so you need originality now in zombie movies, and this one involves a woman who's being chased by one single zombie across the Vegas desert as she tries to get out of the city to an airfield.
Okay.
It's just one zombie. So it's kind of like that question about like, oh, if... some evil entity starts following you from, like, how do you avoid it or whatever. So she's walking across the desert. She needs water and food. The zombie obviously doesn't. And just, like, relentlessly is pursuing her. But it's quite funny, at least the first half. Then it gets a little wonky in the middle, but then it ends pretty well.
All right. Check it out.
So check that out. And finally, Raw.
Yeah, Raw.
Is awesome.
I should see Raw. It's the girl who goes to, like, veterinarian school or something. And she's a vegetarian.
She's a vegan. Then ingests some raw meat. And
Then goes nuts.
Develops a taste.
Yeah, I should check that out. I've heard people say that that's good.
It's French, too, so you know it's crazy.
French people are weird.
They are, especially when it comes to
I kind of
want
to see High Tension now that I should
You haven't seen
that.
High Tension?
Look, you're looking at me like I'm watching movies 24 hours a day. I can't do it. I got to see High Tension, right? Because I was like looking through the French horror stuff, and you said Martyr is not... Like, nothing wants me to... Nothing...
Yeah,
I don't want to see Martyrs at all.
Frontiers.
I'd rather see
genre of
High Tension. I think that's a one I could get in on, where it's just like... It's obviously going to be nuts, but it's like...
It's quite polarizing.
Is it?
Because it was cool. It's like, there's some really cool visual scenes. The song Newborn by Muse is in it,
okay.
And they recorded it in French for that movie.
Ooh.
And there's like, again, it's like a big feminist empowerment kind of movie.
Sure.
But people get very angry about point of view issues and stuff like that. You'll just have to see it.
I got to check it out, because that's the one that, of all the French movies that you've described, I'm like, no. Like High Tension, I'm like, High Tension, I can watch that. So, there you go.
It does have a twist.
I bet it does.
All right, so we're going to play another song, and then we'll come back, and we'll have our police blotter.
Ooh.
Matt has a competing police blotter.
Blotter.
And from Lin Lin, the City of Sin, right?
Yep.
So, that should be
Scott
good.
This morning at the Richdale.
Then we have the return of Brutal Art Brutal, and finally, we have an induction into the Metal History Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame!
More Master production coming up.
So
but first,
good.
Let's play some Cattle Decapitation, because you can still win tickets to see these guys. If you call in at 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264, going to play Manufactured Extinct, which was off their most recent album, The Anthropocene Extinction.
Wow.
And you are hearing it on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
And yeah, welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. That was cattle decapitation manufactured extinct off the Anthropocene extinction. And now it is time for the police blotter and the return of Brutal or Not Brutal. Matt's having a crisis right now. So I'm just going to go for the Metals police blotter. The big.
Let's go.
All right, I'm just going to carry on here. So, Mexico Lindo, we have talked about Mexico Lindo before on the show. AR Fox, a fan of the Mexico Lindo, we think. But this is a big deal. There's a headline. Man leaves Mexico Lindo without paying bar tab.
What?
Exactly. Was it you?
Absolutely not.
Police, I like, this is how it starts off, though. Police continue their investigation. I didn't know this investigation started. Into fraud at the Mexico Lindo restaurant on Main Street on Wednesday, October 4th. A white man who had been drinking at a bar walked out without paying his tab sometime before 2:43 p.m. According to police, he drank about $53 worth of alcoholic beverages before using a restaurant phone, complaining to the bartender that his drinks were weak and going outside to smoke a cigarette, a trip from which he never returned.
Jesus Christ.
He was wearing a black long-sleeve t-shirt and blue jeans. He faces He faces a charge of defrauding an innkeeper, which is a felony.
Yeah, that's right. Defrauding an innkeeper. That's hilarious. Oh, Massachusetts blue laws are so good. They'll get you every time.
So keep an eye out for a white man in blue jeans and black shirt.
But not, he refused to pay.
Well, they didn't have the age. But anyway. Then, on Monday, October 2nd, at 1:27 p.m., a concerned citizen told police that a motor vehicle parked on Carlita Road, I didn't even know we had Carlita Road in Melrose, was full of dogs. Police checked out the situation and learned the vehicle belonged to a professional dog walker who was dropping off one of his customer's pets. These animal people, man, seriously. Glad they didn't shatter a window. And finally, this is why Amazon should not come to Massachusetts. On Friday, October 6th, an Amazon delivery truck struck a fire hydrant on West Emerson Street around 2 p.m. Amazon terrorizing the streets of Melrose.
Unbelievable.
Not in my state.
You're going to get drone delivery. Well, I got up early this morning because I had to finish the metal history because I didn't finish it yesterday. And so I went to the Richdale here and picked up the Lynn item. So here's some additional police blotter facts.
And wait, this is on sale in Melrose, the Lynn item?
No, this is on sale in Medford, which doesn't make any sense.
Oh, here, okay.
First, let's start slow. In Revere.
The slow burn?
In Revere.
Ooh, it's multi-cities.
Yeah. Report of loud stereo on Revere Beach Boulevard, 1:37 a.m. Thursday. That was me. Now, let's get a little more exciting. In Marblehead. Report of red Ford driving through cemetery on West Shore Drive, honking horn and playing loud music while a service was being conducted at 11:58 a.m. Thursday. That was also me. Last
was
one.
Was it black metal?
Can you imagine, like, you're trying to have a funeral and some knob is just driving around?
That's what I'd want at my funeral.
Is that, you know what? Honestly, that is what I want. I'm actually going to write that into my will. Be like, if I go, please pay teens to do donuts around my grave.
My dying request is for Nurgle to show up and just rip out a solo.
Please have Abath come to gravesite and put sword into the ground. And then it gets hit with lightning, obviously, and I reach my hand out, and it's, like, sick. And then everyone goes and has, like, you know, chicken broccoli ziti. Because that's what I wanted to happen after my funeral. Last one, in Marblehead also. This is an interesting one, Matt, because it goes places. A woman reported a no parking sticker was affixed to her window in the Village Plaza and wanted to know why police would do that at 4:24 p.m. Thursday. Police told the woman it was not the police, but the property owner. The woman demanded the property owner replace her window because the window would be ruined by taking the sticker off. She declined to have the police look at the window and agreed to handle the matter on her own. What do you think about that one?
Vigilante justice?
Vigilante justice. I'm going to put no parking sticker, right? Just don't park from my house, no parking sticker. There you go. That's police blotter Marblehead. That
You said that this was going to be like the real police blotter. I have to say, worse stuff going on in Melrose.
I didn't know people were defrauding innkeepers in Melrose, honestly. $53, by the way, in drinks at Mexico Lindo is like a lot, right? Because I feel like their drinks are fairly affordable. You're talking about like seven margs. This guy threw down seven margs and just walked out of the street.
It's insanity.
$1 margaritas at the Applebee's,
by the way. Be careful out there. All right. So now, the return. Brutal or not brutal. We'll do this quickly, because then we have one song to play, and then we have our Hall of Fame induction.
Jesus.
We've been building this. It's very exciting. All right. Are you a Rick and Morty fan?
I've never seen it, but I did see one episode of it last night before everyone was like, let's watch heavy metal. And I'm like, okay, guys. And it's funny. Like, it's funny. It's a funny show.
So, I'm sure people have all heard about it by now, but on October 7th, so there was an episode of Rick and Morty where they talk about Szechuan sauce that was actually part of a promotion, I believe, in 1998 for the movie Mulan.
For Mulan.
That McDonald's was had it available. Of course, it's been discontinued since then, and it was it's throwaway mention in Rick and Morty episode. Yes. So McDonald's, so all the crazy Rick and Morty fans, which I guess have quite a reputation now of being a-holes, they demanded Szechuan sauce.
Yeah.
And so McDonald's like, all right, we'll bring it back for a day. And people drove hours out of their way to get the Szechuan sauce. But there was not enough. They did not have enough.
Yes.
And, you know, people might think, oh, it's a one-off promotion with this TV show that not a lot of people watch. Not a big deal. But no, people were outside chanting, surging against the counters, demanding their sauce. Police had to get involved.
I have a clip. I have a clip for flavor.
We have a clip. Go ahead. You can now buy packets on eBay for hundreds of dollars.
Can you imagine that? You're working at McDonald's and some man child jumps on the counter and starts screaming about Pickle Rick or whatever?
Some neckbeard? Unbelievable. So anyway, McDonald's giving in. They're going to bring it back at some point in the future and make it available much more widely.
It's a loser all around.
Because brands are your friend.
I was going to say, it's not brutal all around, obviously. One is that, obviously, like, it's fine to be, I think it's a funny show, honestly, but you can't take a show or any type of media or like thing and make that your entire identity. And I think that's kind of what's led this country astray a little bit. The second part, which is ridiculous, is brands kind of edging in on weird fandoms and trying to like
because McDonald's is struggling.
I guess.
For real.
I don't know. I get a McDouble every now and again, and I enjoy myself.
Their sales are way down.
Shaking up there. That I got a McDouble. that's the whole thing, all around, very bad. Like, brands being like, hey, we're cool, like, look at this meme, memes. And then they do a meme.
Hello, fellow kids.
And then the fellow kids run in, and they're just, like, screaming and sweating on everything, and God damn it, no. Don't.
Danbury, Connecticut is more brutal.
All right, so next item. Marilyn Manson,
yep.
Who you discussed earlier in the show, because what album came out this week?
Antichrist Superstar.
There you go. He suffered multiple leg injuries, first his ankle, then he apparently broke his leg on stage.
He's so thin. I feel like he would just break.
He's old and drunk, too. Like, what a dude needs to chill.
Is he?
He's gone through a lot of... He's had a rough... Because he went through the breakup with Evan Rachel Wood and gained a bunch of weight and was very sad.
Was he dating Rose McGowan at one point?
Way back in the day.
And that was when she had the dress that was like Buck Wild?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
And then... But I... So, obviously, she's in the news for Harvey Weinstein.
I was going to say, yeah.
I believe she's also... Marilyn Manson. I can't remember the details now, but I think she's come out and said he's done similar stuff to her too. That's one of the reasons they broke up. And if you saw like the back in the day at Holy Cross when the Scream Awards were a thing, that was when the Grindhouse movies had come out, and so everybody came on stage and Marilyn Manson won some award doing the music, and Rose McGowan, who had been like previous presenter and host of the show, was not on stage with Marilyn Manson.
Interesting.
Anyway,
that stinks.
So maybe some karma. He has suffered multiple leg injuries. So two things have happened. One is he blamed it on God.
For what? Making him fall down?
Because he believed in Satan, so God struck him down.
I guess he gave him injuries. Satan, God has to be real.
And then Uh-oh, got to get the full news up here. But Madonna Wayne Gacy, the longtime, previously the longest tenured. Well, because you know that everybody in there,
I know.
For the most part, as the first name is a model, second name is a serial killer. And the longest tenured, I believe, of all time. Mm-hmm. Not even John 5 has caught up yet. But former keyboardist of Marilyn Manson is very happy and said that I forgive him, but I hope he suffers. And seems to be quite pleased that Marilyn Manson is hurt.
I guess he's a jerk, right? Maybe he's rubbing people the wrong way, apparently.
Apparently. He said, this is why old, wasted people shouldn't bumble around in the dark.
Ooh, in your face.
What's, I guess he was close enough for my black magic to work.
What's Madonna Wayne Gacy up to these days? Rocking, I guess.
Not totally sure right now.
That's interesting stuff. How did he fall?
I don't know. He fell and then something fell on him. That broke his leg.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That's a brutal way to break. Breaking your ankle seems like not a way to go. I was watching the Texans game on Sunday Night Football and I saw...
Why?
I don't know. I saw J.J. Watt like break his knee or whatever. Again? And I'm like, that sounds horrible. Brutal. Obviously brutal. Give it to me. Give me the brutal.
They're real brutal.
I'll break Marilyn Manson's ankle. I'll put him in the ankle lock.
Speaking of people you love.
Yep.
Eminem.
Yeah.
Was sucks. On stage.
I hate Eminem so much.
Why don't you give us the background?
Eminem did, it's the Source Awards, I believe, does their annual award show, and they do a thing where it's called a cypher, which is like you get kind of nominees and just rappers in general, and they do freestyle rap, and it's supposed to be off the cuff, but I'm questioning whether this is off the cuff because it sounded written, and Eminem did a raps, and he talked about Trump, and obviously, like, I'm no fan of Trump. If you listen to the show a single second, you would know that. But, like, the thing that is aggravating... The thing is... Okay, here's two sides of the coin, right? The one side is a lot of the MAGA people...
Well, real quick, he basically told his fans that if you like Trump, you can't like me.
You can't like me. Which is what I was going to say as... I'm going to do, like, a compliment sandwich.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One is, that's hilarious because all the, like, MAGA hat white guys are like, oh, Kendrick Lamar won, but they'd be like, yeah, but M would spit on him. He'd totally win.
Trump and himself is quoted as like an Eminem.
Trump said he liked Eminem. And, like, that's what I always thought. Like, I thought that the world was under a mass delusion because I remember Eminem being very big in the early 2000s. And I've gone back and I've listened to some of that stuff. And I'm like, this is embarrassing. It is embarrassing to listen to this cadence, to listen to this voice. It stinks. And now he's, like, back and everyone's, like, loving him. And I think the thing that killed me was I saw Keith Olbermann tweet something out where he said, I've been down on rap for 27 years, but now my mind has been completely changed by this, like, God damn it, I hate Eminem so much. But anyway, it's funny that he's making these guys sad, but at the same time, he's not good. He's just not good at rap, you guys. He's not a good rapper. There you have it. I hate Eminem.
So this is not even brutal, not brutally. God. That's the end.
It's just not brutal. It's more like the takes. It's more like... It's
not brutal, you know.
It's the Bay culture where, like, all the MSNBC anchors are now like, oh, Eminem just killed it in this freestyle. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Like, as if they were watching the Source Awards from year to year and comparing who killed it more in the freestyle as they go. And they're like, well, I'm Keith Olbermann. I've watched the freestyle Source Awards cipher for the last 10 years. And I got to say, this was a good one. Like, shut up. Just shut up.
And on that note.
That's it. I'm staring at the floor.
Well, as you contemplate that, while we play some Revocation, a band you can see if you call in 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. They're playing with Cattle Decapitation at once. And here is Grave Robber off of Chaos of Forms.
Straight into your room.
Yes, it is time for the first ever induction into the Brutal Brunch.
Very excited.
Hall of Fame.
Very excited for today's inductee.
I am pretty pumped.
Deserving, great clothing choices, define the voice, of the generation.
He sings about his clothing choices and hair in some of the songs.
As well you should.
So, should we build up to it and then announce it, or do you want to just announce it right now? Why don't you tell us? The first ever induction into the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame is...
Edema!
And the album...
Edema!
Yes!
So...
Released in August of 2001. Again, a simpler time.
Yes.
More innocent time.
Yes.
1 month before 9/11, which changed things forever, including the music world.
Mortal Monday came out. They did the theme song to Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Annihilation?
It was actually a single. It was after this album came out.
Okay.
So it's not on this album.
Damn it.
But yes. And then they released it. They stuck it on an EP as a quote gift to the fans.
I mean, it was a
because Edema has been giving gifts to their fans for 16 years now, including the return of Mark Chavez, who went back to the band.
So good.
Better known as the younger half brother of Jonathan Davis of Korn fame. So yeah, this is his band.
Handsomer.
The debut album, self-titled album, was in 2001. It was certified gold, and it led to Edema being put on the bills of, this basically sums up the world of music at the time, Ozfest, Music as a Weapon, Snowcore, and Project Revolution.
Unbelievable.
Incredible suite of tours.
Honestly, like, it's good. Like, it's funny. It's funny because it's nu metal going in first, but it's also good. Like, it's fine. It's, like, fun to listen to. Like, if you just divorce yourself from trying to be cool 24 hours a day, just for 1 minute of your life, just relax.
This album reached number 27 on the U.S. charts.
Rightfully so.
168 on the U.K., but 18 on the U.K. rock charts. It is their highest charting, highest selling album to date. Had multiple singles, including Giving In, which is their first single. Reached number 16 on U.S. mainstream rock tracks and 14 on U.S. modern rock tracks. The Way You Like It was a follow-up single at the end of the year. And in 2002, it reached 21 on the U.S. mainstream rock tracks and 15 on the U.S. modern rock tracks. And some pretty good reviews, including from Entertainment Weekly in 2001,
including Matt Mastromaro says, The Way You Like It changed the song, the voice of a generation.
We give it a B-.
What?
And the review is, Nepotism Lives!
Ah!
On Edema, screamer Mark Chavez is the younger half-brother of Korn shouter Jonathan Davis. Even if you didn't know that, you'd recognize that he sings in the same over-enunciated Aren't I Sick in the Head ramble. If only Edema had Korn's hooks or Davis's credible dementia. Instead, the band only succeeds in making nu metal sound corny.
Who said that?
Get out of here, Entertainment Weekly.
Entertainment Weekly?
Rolling Stone gave it 2.5 stars. They said Edema, a quintet formed by veterans from Bakersfield, California's nu metal scene. They spelled nu metal N-E-W. Come on, Rolling Stone.
Come on.
Take some Tool, a bit of Stained, and a drop of Orgy. Can't have a better compliment than that.
I mean, that sounds great.
And dress the results up into a shimmering package of radio-friendly commercial potential. Moody, hard, and melodic guitarist Mike Ransom and Tim Flukey go beyond the genre's generic crunch and offer a creative palette of soaring solos, singing lines, and textures.
The words don't match the number.
The problem is that Edema's music, here you go, lacks any sense of necessity or urgency.
Wrong.
Even the pick of the litter, Freaking Out, Everyone and Giving In, are songs that feel more crafted than inspired. Misunderstood by parents, friends, and girlfriends, singer Mark Chavez, aren't we all, focuses on alienation, sure.
Yeah.
But unlike his half-brother Jonathan Davis of Korn, I don't know if you knew that, this is like how Relic is killer spelled backwards. Half-brother Jonathan Davis of Korn, he's conventionally troubled rather than rewardingly twisted. And then line of the day, nothing going on here that some Paxil couldn't fix. I had to Google Paxil, but it's an antidepressant.
So they're just mad because...
Well, the fans say...
All right, give me a real review.
July 22nd, 2003...
Where is this?
Deftones 411.
Okay, Deftones
responds to the Rolling Stone review and says, gives it 4 stars.
Good.
It says, somewhat disagreed with the Rolling Stone review. I was surprised that the CD is actually this good. I only bought it because I like Giving In. I thought maybe it would be a few good songs and then get tossed. But these guys' stuff sounds more original than Korn. I know they get compared a lot and Edema gets ripped by Rolling Stone, but I think they are great on CD and better live at the Ozfest I have seen them at.
Interesting.
Metal Rocker 1439 writes, 5 stars.
Yep.
I give it 5. Disagreed with the Rolling Stone review. I thought Edema was awesome and definitely more than what I had ever expected to come out. I'm glad I was introduced to this album and hope that Unstable, which is their follow-up, take them farther and is more accepted by fans! Exclamation points. They are the best, in my opinion, and I've been around a long time!
Was that
3 exclamation points.
Was that you?
That was written yesterday by me as I created the radio edits for this album.
This entire website is fake.
By the way, WFNX put Giving In number 30. It was number 30 on their top 100 of 2001.
Sure.
And The Way You Like It was number 44 on their top 100
Garbage.
Of 2002.
That's why FNX doesn't exist anymore.
No respect.
No respect.
So congratulations, Edema.
Congratulations, Edema. Welcome to the Brutal Brunch Metal History Hall of Fame.
So we're going to play you now. We're going to end the show with 3 tracks.
Holy crap.
The big 3 singles. Did you know that there were 3 singles? There were 4 singles off this album.
All I know is The Way You Like It and then the Mortal Kombat song. I just like Mortal Kombat, you guys.
With Scorpion in the video.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Sick. He shoots
so we're
going to
play you
the camera.
The Way You Like It, Giving In, Freaking Out. This is Edema.
Did you know
their self-titled album?
He's Jonathan Davis's half brother.
I did not know that. Breaking news here.
Hey, breaking news, you guys.
So let's do this.
Gel your hair up. We will be back. Put on a silk shirt and let's go.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Our special Halloween show, Diva Car, live in studio.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. We were going to give away tickets, but probably not.
We're going to give away tickets, but I guess not. I don't know.
And to a different show, but probably not now. Stay tuned for Bob Angel and Detox Mansion. You've been listening to Brewer Brunch on WMFO 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Now enjoy the sweet of Edema. Our first ever induction into the Brewer Brunch Hall of Fame.
Welcome.
Again, we're going to play you the way you like it, giving in and freaking out. Goodbye.
Deserve it.
Remains the reason why you're gonna wanna take me home tonight. It's all the same up in this game. The people change and money claims everyone from everything. I can't believe that you would think that bitch of me. I was amazed at the torment that you put me through. If you could see right through the greed and all your needs, you'll realize that you are just about as bad as me. Sometimes I only remember the days when I was young. Nowadays no one remembers we're young and stupid, the way you like it. Come on, baby, help me, someone to confide in. I'll get inside you, now you're begging me to stay. My life has changed, but most of fame will stay the same. You can't complain when you can pay the bills and do your thing. Appreciate, don't play a hate, congratulate. I miss the pain and the torment that you put me through. So much fear when everything is crystal clear. You'll realize that you should do the things you wanna do. Don't give in to what people say, don't be ashamed to separate the feelings on your mind, you can't sustain. Sometimes I only remember the day. We'll be right back.
dying tonight. Drink till I'm myself. Life's harder every day. The stress has got me. I'm giving in. Giving in. Giving in.